Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Plot to Destroy Democracy by Malcolm W. Nance examines how modern Russia, under Vladimir Putin, wages a long game against democratic societies. Drawing on the author's background in intelligence and national security commentary, the book frames Kremlin's strategy as a coordinated campaign that blends espionage tradecraft with propaganda, cyber operations, and the cultivation of political division abroad. Rather than treating interference as a one-off scandal, Nance argues it reflects a broader doctrine aimed at weakening alliances, eroding trust in institutions, and making liberal democracies doubt their own legitimacy. The narrative connects historical Russian and Soviet practices with contemporary influence operations, describing how covert agents, cutouts, and sympathetic intermediaries can amplify polarizing narratives inside open societies. The book also explores why democracies are uniquely vulnerable, emphasizing how free speech, competitive politics, and a fragmented media environment can be manipulated at scale when adversaries understand the attention economy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Kremlin's strategic objective undermining trust, not winning arguments. A central theme is that the goal of Russian active measures is less about persuading audiences of a single ideology and more about corroding confidence in democratic systems. The book presents interference as a pressure campaign that targets belief in elections, courts, journalism, and public health of civic life. When citizens cannot agree on basic facts or assume that every institution is corrupt, they become easier to mobilize through anger and fear and harder to unite around shared goals. Nance describes how modern influence operations exploit polarization by amplifying existing grievances rather than inventing them from scratch. This makes the campaign difficult to counter because the messaging often arrives through domestic voices, not obvious foreign channels. The approach relies on volume, repetition, and emotional triggers, pushing contradictory narratives that share a common effect paralysis and cynicism. In that framework, chaos is an outcome, not a side effect. The book also underscores why democracies are appealing targets open debate, decentralized media, and legal protections can be turned into entry points for manipulation. By focusing on trust as the battlefield, the book encourages readers to measure security not only in military terms, but in institutional credibility and social cohesion. Secondly, espionage and active measures old tradecraft in a digital form. Nance situates contemporary Russian operations within a lineage of intelligence methods that include recruiting assets, running clandestine networks, and shaping perceptions through covert influence. The book emphasizes continuity between Soviet-era active measures and today's tactics, while highlighting that the internet dramatically reduces cost and increases reach. Traditional espionage focuses on secrets, but active measures focus on narratives and behavior. The book describes how intelligence services can blend covert collection with influence, using compromat, intermediaries, and carefully staged leaks to steer public conversation. Digital channels then magnify the effect, allowing forged or selectively edited material to spread rapidly, often before verification can catch up. Another point is deniability. Operations are structured through layers of separation, such as front organizations, proxies, and online personas, making attribution and legal response slower and more complicated. The author also explores how influence campaigns can be tailored to different audiences, pushing messages that resonate with their values and fears, even when those messages contradict one another across groups. By framing cyber and information operations as extensions of intelligence tradecraft, the book argues that defending democracy requires understanding espionage logic, not only improving technology. Thirdly, information warfare and the attention economy propaganda, amplification, and division. The book explores how propaganda adapts to platforms designed for engagement. In this environment, the most shareable content is often the most outraging or identity-affirming, which makes it ideal for manipulation. Nance describes information warfare as an ecosystem that includes state media, coordinated social media activity, sympathetic commentators, and opportunistic outlets that chase clicks. The campaign can seed narratives, test them, and amplify what performs well, creating feedback loops that reward extremity. A key idea is that disinformation does not need to convince everyone. It only needs to move a small segment of people to act, to stay home on election day, or to distrust the results. The book also emphasizes divisive targeting, where messages are customized to inflame tensions around race, religion, immigration, and ideology. By driving communities further apart, adversaries reduce the capacity for compromise and make governance appear incompetent. The author connects these tactics to broader geopolitical goals, suggesting that weakening internal unity makes a country less reliable as an ally and less effective in foreign policy. The analysis encourages readers to view viral content with strategic skepticism, asking who benefits from the outrage and what behavior the message is trying to trigger. Fourthly, the vulnerabilities of open society's politics, media, and institutional gaps, Nance argues that democratic openness is both a strength and a vulnerability. Competitive elections, a free press, and robust civil liberties create a dynamic society, but they also provide adversaries with countless touchpoints. The book examines how partisan incentives can reward sensational claims and tactical deception, especially when rapid news cycles favor speed over accuracy. It highlights gaps in preparedness, such as underestimating foreign influence, fragmented responsibility across agencies and platforms, and legal constraints that complicate swift countermeasures. Another vulnerability is social when communities feel ignored or economically insecure. They are more receptive to narratives that blame institutions or demonize outgroups. The book suggests that adversaries do not need to fabricate these tensions, they can exploit and accelerate them. It also discusses the challenge of responding without undermining democratic values. Heavy-handed censorship can backfire, while purely voluntary platform measures may be insufficient. The author's framing implies that resilience depends on strengthening civic literacy, transparency, and institutional accountability. By treating societal cohesion and trust as security assets, the book pushes readers to consider reforms that reduce the surface area for manipulation while preserving the freedoms that define democratic life. Lastly, building democratic resilience, practical awareness, and long-term defense. Beyond diagnosis, the book points toward the mindset required to defend democratic systems. Nance emphasizes that countering influence operations is not solely a government task. It involves citizens, journalists, educators, and technology companies developing a shared baseline of information hygiene. The book encourages readers to slow down before sharing incendiary claims, verify sources, and recognize manipulation patterns such as emotionally loaded headlines, anonymous attribution, and claims designed to produce immediate outrage. It also implies the need for institutional responses, including better coordination across intelligence, law enforcement, and election infrastructure, along with clearer public communication when interference is detected. Another element is media resilience supporting credible reporting, improving transparency around political advertising and online amplification, and creating norms that punish deliberate deception rather than rewarding it. The author frames resilience as a long-term project because adversaries adapt, the defense must evolve too. Importantly, the book suggests that democratic societies must address their own internal weaknesses, such as corruption, inequality, and political cynicism, because those are the raw materials of foreign manipulation. The overall message is that protecting democracy requires both vigilance against external operations and renewed commitment to the civic practices that sustain trust. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a national security lens on modern political warfare, including informed citizens, journalists, policy students, and anyone trying to understand how foreign influence can interact with domestic polarization. It is also useful for readers who sense that the biggest threat to democracy is not a single election outcome, but the steady erosion of shared reality and institutional legitimacy. The practical benefit is a clearer mental model for how disinformation and active measures work, what they are trying to accomplish, and why seemingly random online controversies can align with strategic goals. That awareness can improve daily decision-making, from media consumption to civic participation, because readers learn to recognize manipulation techniques and resist being emotionally steered into distrust or apathy. Compared to many books that focus narrowly on one event cycle, Nance presents interference as a doctrine and a continuing contest, connecting intelligence tradecraft, propaganda mechanics, and geopolitical objectives. That broader framing can make the purchase worthwhile for readers who want context rather than a single scandal narrative. It also stands out by emphasizing societal resilience, arguing that defending democracy is a shared responsibility, not only a government project. If you would like to support Malcolm W. Nance, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.